I am talking about worship, and man, did you guys feel the presence of the Lord here this morning? Like, thank you guys. I don't know if you noticed it. If you haven't been here, we had sporadic seating, and this week we put all the chairs out because we needed them out of that room, and I'm glad we did, or else we would have run out of seats, right? So thank God. Hey, listen, if you're online, you are more than welcome. There's still some empty seats here. And God is doing some great things, I'm just telling you. And I really sensed that I needed to talk about worship. Why do I talk about worship? If some people, and let me just say, in the past, this hasn't happened here, but we have had people that say, oh, you know what, I don't do that singing part. I wait till that's over and then I come in for the message. And I think, you know, you totally miss what the importance of worship is. And it's so important that... That, you know, Lucifer, before he fell from heaven and became Satan, you know, our arch enemy, he was a worship leader. He was one that was important in the aspect of worship. So is it any wonder that one of the biggest divisions in the church today is over worship? I don't like this song, you know, and I don't like that song, and, you know, we get our, I'm not going to say what I was going to thinking, but we get all upset about, you know, what song I like and which one I don't. So we're going to be talking about the heart of worship, and yes, there's a song that we sing that deals with that. One of the lines says this: I will bring you more than a song, because a song in itself is not what you have required. How many of you know it's not just about singing a song? Let me just say this. It is possible to sing a worship song and not worship. Oh, yeah. Am I right? Yeah. Like, has anybody ever and I'm confessing myself, you know, especially when you're really hungry and you're like singing a song, but you're thinking about lunch. Come on, let's just be honest. Or maybe you got some kind of issue going on at home. You know, I'll have to confess, when Colleen and I first got married, it was over an hour drive to where we were going to church. So we would get in the car, and inevitably every Sunday we would get an argument, right? Nobody here has ever had that happen, right? So I'll never forget, you know, we come into, you know, we're singing a song, but I want to tell you, we were not worshiping. You know, when are they going to apologize, you know? And whatever it is, I remember I don't know if it was a word or something, said, you know what, if you're arguing on the way, that's the enemy trying to distract you. And so 30 years ago, roughly, we determined to pray on our way from our house to church, and we haven't had an argument in 30 years on our way to church, right? So this may be just a tidbit for some of you out there, like if you argued on the way to church, just say, you know what, we're not going to talk, we're going to pray on the way to church. We prayed on our way to church this morning because we don't want the devil to be stealing our praise, right? So it is important. Isaiah 29:13 says this: the Lord says, the people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but what? Their hearts are from, and it says their worship me is nothing but made up rules taught by men. And so we can, I think we have the ability to have, just fall into to just a pattern. Oh, you know what, I'm just doing this. This is what we do as a Christian, you know. And I don't think anybody here online or actually physically here would like for God to say that your worship is only a bunch of rules taught by men. That's what you do. I want my worship of God to be real and genuine, amen? I mean, let's be honest. Everything we do in our life can become routine. Like later on, we're taking communion, and if we're not careful, taking communion can become very routine. Like, oh yeah, take the bread, take the juice. Listen, if you're more concerned about the flavor of the juice and the crunch of the wafer... Yeah, you're missing it. Exactly. It's like, man, you know what? This is kind of stale. You know what? I don't want stale. The body of Jesus wasn't stale. Come on. It was crispy. Right? So don't get caught up in allowing that. Or prayer. Prayer can become ritual. Like if you just like say the same thing every time that you pray, you know, the prayer sometimes we teach our kids, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him. See, you guys know that prayer too. Like, am I really communicating with the Lord, or am I just saying words? Right? Am I just going through the motion? Listen, if I told my spouse the exact same thing every morning, like, hey, honey, good to see you. Thanks for breakfast. I'll see you later. And if I did that the next morning, that might work in your marriage, but I want you to know that's not going to work in this marriage. Right? I'm getting an amen. Like I've got to be able to communicate. So prayer is not just about saying the same thing over and over again. So we have to be careful. Reading God's word, so important that we do that. But how many of you know we can be so more focused on getting through the Bible instead of allowing the Bible to get through us? Like, oh, I want to read the Bible in a year, so I got to read these three chapters, these two chapters, and you don't pause to see, okay, God, is there something you're wanting to speak to me? Right? Anything we do, worship. Like I said, if you're more concerned about the style of the song, if you're more concerned about, you know, oh, you know what, I don't really like that. We were a part of a church, and I'm not going to say where it was, that when we got there, they would do song requests. Like, hey, who wants to hear that? You know what? I'd like to hear this song. And you know, the thing is, we had to teach them that the worship leader is not a DJ, right? And if all you're going to do is song request, then let's just have our kumbaya moment, build a fire, roast some marshmallows, and stop calling it worship, right? We are here to lift up the King, not to get, you know, you can play your favorite songs anytime during the week, am I right? Hop in your car, whatever, turn your radio on, put your phone on, put your favorite songs on them. But you know what? When we come together, we're here to worship the Lord. Amen. Amen. I mean, they used to call a person, whoever was leading, a song leader. You know, we're not here to lead songs. We're here to lead worship, right? And it's important that we get a good understanding of what that is. So let me tell you a story. Going back to, if you don't know it, I used to be in the Army. I was a heavy equipment operator. That was fun operating equipment, dozers, graders, scrapers. I got to operate, moved a lot of dirt doing that. But I was stationed in a very difficult place in Hawaii. Listen, somebody's got to do the bad duty stations. That's all I got to say. And while we were there, I had the opportunity to do what's called aerosol school. And I actually have... this is, if you go through and complete it, this is a badge you get to wear on your uniform that you went through. Anybody been to air assault school before? Anyone here? Anyone ever rappel out of a helicopter? Good, man, I feel really special now. What we actually did. I got a video that actually shows, show that video? This is what I actually did when I was lighter. But that is what they taught us to do in this air assault school to be able to do that. Now, thank God I never actually had to do that in war, right? I mean, it was like, oh, okay, we get to go down. But because my job was a heavy equipment operator, I actually got to see parts of Hawaii that most people, not even locals, were able to see. It was deep in the jungle, many parts in the center of Oahu, like the beaches are all taken up. But in the center, there's a lot of Hawaiian jungle that the military owns a lot of that. And there were roads going through all kinds of way. And what our job was to go in and repair those roads because it rains a lot in Hawaii, washes away lots of those roads. So we would be then there on a regular basis, cutting trees, in the midst of it. And it was cool. It was pretty cool being there. But when I went to the air assault school, all of a sudden I got a view of Hawaii that was a whole lot different. And this is the helicopter. Does anybody know what kind of helicopter that is? All right, I heard it. Yeah, it is a Black Hawk helicopter. That's what they, and you can see these four guys, and they got a strap going there like that's really going to hold you in, right? But they took us up, and they did have that strap, and they took us around the island. I mean, and they're doing some hard banking too, which I wasn't scared because your feet, actually the ones that we had have skids right there, but you're just like getting a view that you've never seen before. What does this have to do with worship? I'm glad you asked. What this does, worship gives us a fresh perspective on what's going on in our life. It lifts us up spiritually, refuels us, and what happens in our life, much like me when I'm on the ground with heavy equipment, all I can see is what's horizontal in my life. right? Like, oh, there's this tree, there's this boulder, we got to build this road here. But when you begin to worship God, God begins to lift you up to a different perspective. And you get to view things not from your horizontal circumstances, but God gives us a view of things from His perspective. I don't know if you realize that, yes, we got a lot going on in our world, especially now that we got these fires on top of riots, on top of pandemic, on top of politics, on top of all of that. I don't know if you realize this. God is not seeing things in the same perspective that you and I are. Am I right? He's not, you know, we may, oh no, what's going to happen? You know, God is not concerned. He's not scared. He's got a plan. And sometimes we've got to figure out how to be able to lift ourselves up from where we are to begin to see where God is at. All right, God, how do you do that? The scripture says this in Psalms 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. You know what? He's not just saying, I'm going to magnify. He's like, hey, listen, let's magnify the Lord together. When we all begin to do that, let us exalt His name together. And the word magnify means to make bigger. Yeah. Let's make it bigger. Let's increase. Like if you have a magnifying glass on something, what does it do? It makes it bigger. Exactly. How do I do that? Let me tell you, when your horizontal circumstances, like I said, all of the things that are going, riots, you know, these are things we're all dealing with. But how many of you know each one of us are facing our own individual crisis sometimes? Whether it's the loss of a family member, maybe a loss of business. There's a lot of people who have lost their business, lost relationship. Maybe the doctor has given you some bad news. Those are things that can really pull us down. And how do I magnify the Lord when all I can see is what's right in front of me? All I can see is the bad news from the doctor or November 3rd's coming. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And how do I get to that point? And it's through worship. Yeah. It's as I begin to worship. God gives us these views and the circumstances we begin to see from God's point of view. And it's amazing how overwhelming they are anymore once you see things. And let me say, I heard this analogy from my wife years ago. If you're a little toddler in a crowd, think about this size or so, and there's all adult people around you, what is your viewpoint? Yeah, what do you see? Yeah, here we go. Now, let me just say, it was belt buckles and backsides, right? That's what you get to see. And earlier, I was in the cafe, and Abby, our granddaughter, looked at me, and she's like, up, up. And she really emphasizes her P's. I just wanted to know that. It's like, it's not up, it's up, like that. And and her arms were lifted up because she wanted to be lifted from her perspective where she was, because she knew where if I lifted her up, she would be able to see the donuts on the counter a lot easier. Right? I'm just saying. It was like, so what happens is we begin to lift our hands to God and say, God, up. I'm in a situation. I'm overwhelmed with my circumstances. I can't see past where I am right now. So God, would you begin to lift me up? And that's one of the reasons. It's the sign of surrender that we lift our hands. Lord, I need to get out of where I am and begin to see that big picture. Take me up on your spiritual helicopter, right? I don't want to rappel back down. God, I want to be able to see that big picture. So I'm going to take you to a chapter out of Revelation where God gave the Apostle John, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. I don't think it was a good place, but it was there that he got a vision. Now, he's an old man. He's one of the original 12 disciples, but he's an old man now. All of the rest of the disciples have been martyred. He's the only one that's left alive. They tried to kill him. He just wouldn't die. So it's 95 A.D., and he writes this book that becomes Revelation. I'm going to read this entire chapter to you out of Revelations 4. And it's a very visual chapter. Sometimes, you know, I'm just going to encourage you. You don't have to do this. If you're at home, you don't have to do it. But maybe close your eyes and just kind of allow the visual to take place as I read this to you. And imagine yourself being John, and you're in his position, and he's trying with the best of his ability to describe what's going on. So chapter 4, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. The rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne, check this out, came flashes of lightning coming from the throne, rumbling and peals of thunder before the throne. Seven lamps were blazing. These were the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center around the throne were four living creatures. They were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first creature, living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face of a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and covered with their eyes all around, even under their wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne, and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Amen. You can open your eyes if you have that. That's an amazing picture. I think, like I said, we need to go through this a couple of times to really even begin to grasp this. A couple of years ago, before when we were in between our church in Chico and here, we got to go visit our daughter in Prague, in the Czech Republic. And let me tell you, all of the old building, nothing we have here in the United States is old compared to there, right? I mean, like thousands, 1,500 years old. We saw buildings, castles, bridges. But one of the things that really stood out to me were the doors. I mean, I just want you to know, these are not Home Depot doors, right? You're not going to go down there and get that. But they were on fancy buildings. They were on average buildings. I mean, the craftsmanship on some of these doors. And look at some of the archways, too. It's not just the doors. It's everything that's like surrounding it. And I believe this one was going into a church. This one, you can see right here, it's got different little tags. This was an apartment building. Can you imagine that's your door on your apartment building? Like, whoa, man, I got a cool door, right? This one right here, I mean, you can see where the door is. This one, just some of the streets we were walking down, I'm like, whoa, that's a cool door. Why am I talking about doors? Because verse 1 says this, "After this I looked, there before me was a door standing open in heaven." Again, if you're a visual person, what does that door look like? I mean, we can make some pretty fancy doors here on this side of heaven, but we're talking about a threshold from our dimension that exists into eternity. What is that going to look like? I mean, a place where we're on this side and the presence of God is like everywhere on the other side. Guess what? One day, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, one day we get to pass through that door. Amen. It's like, whoa, you know what? I read about this door that John talked about, but now what is that going to be like? I mean, it's going to be amazing as we get to that passageway. And then the second part of the verse says that then a voice I heard speaking to me like a trumpet. What kind of a voice is that? I mean, John, think about this. John is trying to describe things in the heavenly with an earthly language. Like, I can't even put words to this. And the voice says, "Come up here and I will show you what must take place." So I'm trying to give you guys like a picture this weekend on a big scale, really. When we begin to worship God, when we were worshiping God here this morning, all we're doing is simply mirroring what's already taken place in heaven. We're just echoing that the 24 elders are and the living creatures and the millions of angels that are worshiping God. It's the time that we get to join in with all of them worshiping him. I mean, what a powerful moment. Worship is like this door. It's like this invitation to enter into God's presence. Like, hey, you want to come into God's presence? You know what? My socks are dirty. I don't know if I want to do that today, right? I think sometimes we just take things for granted, don't we? We show up to church. Oh, yeah, I hope they sing my favorite song today. Right? If they don't, well, I'm not going to be real happy about it. We don't realize the access that we have to the throne of God. And we take a lot of things. Don't we take a lot of things for granted? I mean, I'm guilty. Like pre-COVID, coming to church was like, yeah, you know what? I was up late last night, so I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. But man, all of a sudden when you can't come, worshiping in the presence of God. Let me tell you, Old Testament time, a priest could go into the Holy of Holies where the presence of God was once a year. Nobody else got to. And we get to do it every time we begin to worship God. We have that. You know, each week I know Pastor Timothy prays and asks God, Lord, what songs do you want? The worship team is usually up here on Saturdays practicing. And they're here early morning, and then we come in like, I'm not really feeling this song. I can't wait till lunch, right? So I can go grab something. You know, sometimes people walk away, and I've been there, where, man, worship was so good, and other people are like, worship wasn't so good. Do you know what the difference was? It wasn't the song. It wasn't anything else. It was my choice of whether I'm going to enter in or not. Right? It's not a matter of I don't feel like it. Sometimes that's our, you know, I've had a rough week. I've had a tough time. I just don't really feel like it today. I want to tell you, that's the time you need to get in there more than any other time. Right. Am I right? The enemy is like trying to discourage you and keep you out. Let me take you to another verse here. Because when Jesus died on the cross, you realize the temple curtain was torn in two. Symbolically saying, we have access now. Because Jesus died on that cross, because his blood covers us, we have access to the throne. Let me read Hebrews 4:14. It says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Now, a lot of times we stop there. But look at verse 16. So let us come boldly to what? The throne. This is not just symbolic of some place. When we begin to worship, supernaturally, we get into the presence of God. And you're like, well, I don't really understand that. I didn't see the vision of God. But he says, come boldly. We don't have to come afraid to the throne. And listen, the enemy wants to throw guilt and all of that stuff on you. That's Old Testament. The Old Testament, when the priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year, you know what they did is they tied a rope around him just in case he didn't offer sacrifices for sin enough, and if he clunked over and died there, they would drag his body out, right? Yeah, we got to send somebody else in. You know, old Joe just didn't make it, right? So we don't have to go in with that fear of, oh, you know what? What's God going to do to me if I get in there? We have been granted a backstage pass to the throne of God. Amen. Amen. We get to go in as we worship him. And now listen, I don't want to read too much into this, but I think this is important. I'm going back to that verse there. The voice said, come up here and I will show you. Now, just an observation here, but I think this is true biblically and really across the board, that there are some things that the Lord can only reveal to us through the context of worship. Am I right? There are some things that, you know, you're trying to hear a word from God. I mean, you got to be in the presence of God or you're going to miss what God wants to communicate. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I needed to hear God, or maybe I got into the presence of God and all of a sudden God convicted me of some sin that I haven't been dealing with. That's kind of like, oh man, I better repent. But at the same time, there have been many times that I need direction in my life, or maybe I just need a word from the Lord, and those things have happened in the context of worship. God has given direction. God has given purpose. God has spoken peace. Maybe you're not having peace, and it's like, if you can just get into the presence of God, then he will bring peace to your situation. I don't care how good, bad, or ugly it is. Amen? We've got to enter in with intentionality as we enter his presence. And when we do that, look what John said, verse 2. He says, at once I was in the Spirit. What does that mean, right? How do you get into that wavelength? How do you get on God's frequency? It's really not complicated. Psalms 100, verse 4 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. That's God's presence. That's not some obscure castle somewhere. How do I get in the Spirit? I got to go in with thanksgiving. I got to go in with praise. Lord God, I thank you. Begin to thank God for the blessings that he puts in your life. Begin to thank him for his mercy. Begin to thank him for the cross. Man, there's so much, and you lift him up, and what happens is that you begin to get put in his presence. I mean, you know, last week I talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. People have wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they'll come up for prayer, and they'll have their mouth closed. All right, God, do something. I don't know if you know this, God does not possess us. Right? We've got to begin to praise him. We got to begin to lift our hand. And here's the thing. John is on this island, exiled. There was no Hilton hotels or anything like that. Wasn't a good circumstance. And all of a sudden, the next moment, he's in this heavenly realm getting this vision in this revelation about God. I mean, how did he go from there to there? How did he make that transition? Now, I have never been to the Panama Canal. First service, there are two people. Had anyone here ever been to the Panama Canal? Nobody? Oh, right here. All right. So three people from first service and this service have been to the Panama Canal. Now, I've seen pictures. I've seen videos. I actually have a diagram here of it. And, you know, I used to think a long time ago that the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean, that it was like that and it had to get you up there or one way or the other. I didn't really understand all of it, but what it is, the oceans are pretty much similar, you know, depending on what the tide is. But they had to get the boats up and over land, and so there's a man-made lake up here, Gatun Lake. I'm probably saying it wrong, but we're going with it. So, and what they had, they have these different channels, these different locks, so a ship would come in, and then they fill it up, and it's up to that level, go over here, fill it up, go in. And if I can I say that worship is kind of a lock system for us? Here we are down here in our horizontal circumstances, and as you begin to worship God, God begins to lift you up. Supernaturally, God begins to take you to a different level. Supernaturally, till you're in this presence of God. And listen, if you've had that experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about, am I right? You know what I'm talking, and listen, I feel a little bit hindered right now because if you've never experienced that, then it's really hard to describe. How do you describe something like that? It's God is not someone to know, he's somebody to experience. Am I right? And so the amazing thing is that when you get into that context of worship and you really get into the presence of God, I believe that miracles will begin to happen that you didn't even pray for. Amen? Things will begin to happen. Well, what do you mean by that? All I can do is give you an example. When we were in Chico, we had a young mom who had seizures, and she was getting them on a regular basis, sometimes weekly, sometimes two times a week. So she had kids, but they took her driver's license away, because how many of you know it's not safe to have a seizure and drive at the same time? Right? So they took it away. She went to the doctor. She was at UC Davis. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Multiple people had prayed for her. She had her last seizure was in our church in Chico this at the end of service. And the very next week, we were in a worship time, the beginning of service. And at the end of it, I mean, you could just feel God's presence was there. I really felt like the Lord said that he healed her that day. And so this is the beginning of the service. You know, I got up and preached the message. After it was over, I went over and told her. I said, I really felt like the Lord healed you through that worship time. And she just, like, her eyes were all big. She goes, you know what? I felt the same thing. Like it was a confirmation. When God speaks a word, how many of you know it's usually a confirmation that God already spoke to you? And she has not had a seizure since then. And this has probably been 8 years ago? I don't remember. It's been a long time. So worship, when you begin to worship, then God will begin to do things. And now, yes, you got a driver's license, and I believe that great things will happen. Maybe something you've been trying, maybe you've been trying to get deliverance from something. You get into the presence of God and see what God will begin to do to you. Amen. What he'll begin to do. And it's interesting when we talk about the spiritual gifts that are in the Bible. Isn't it amazing how many of them function in the context of worship? Right? If we want to see God's gifts begin to manifest, we've got to be a worshiping church. And listen, I'm just telling you, you guys, man, that was good this morning. And because we were getting into God's presence. If you didn't sense that, it's like, man, I got to step through that door. What's the door, God? I want to step through and I want to begin to worship. And God begins to speak these different words to your heart. You may be praying for somebody. And that's really what Pat and Sean's class is going to be after service, is beginning to hear that voice. But it's as we begin to worship. So anyway, let me move on. So at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was the throne in heaven and someone sitting on it, and one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian. Anyway, I'm not going to read all of that, but I just want you to see this is a very visual thing going on. All of these colors that are taking place, and John is like a little overwhelmed, and it's not just visual, but it says pearls of thunder. We're from Midwest, we're from Texas. They know how to have thunderstorms there, I want you to know. Like when there's thunder and lightning, there's actually rain at the same time, right? We found out here that's not always the case, but any of you guys been in a big, good Midwestern thunderstorm that like rattles? I'll never forget when we were first married, we had a guy renting a room from us, and we were in a mobile home, and it was thundering and lightning, and the trailer was literally shaking. I'm not just like making that up. And the one guy is just like, he's like, oh no, you know, he's thinking Dorothy and a tornado's gonna come up. But I'm just like seeing all of this lightning and feeling that thunder, and then you feel it in here. I'm like, well, this is cool, right? I wasn't scared of him. I'd never been in a tornado. He'd been in one. My wife's been in tornadoes. I'm like, hey, listen, I've never been in a tornado. I like this. This was cool. So it was just what I'm trying to say here is that when you get into the presence of God, I want to tell you special effects that movie theaters have, you know, movie makers and concerts, not going to do anything compared to what God's going to do. Like he's going to blow them away. And then if you look at verse 6, and before the throne, so all of these like lightning and thunder and everything's going off, and in front of the throne there's what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Like anyone ever been to a fireworks display at a lake or something like that? And you see it reflecting off the lake and it's all cool. Let me tell you, this is going to be nothing like that. It's going to be way better. Oroville, at the Oroville Lake, they'd have a fireworks show. And man, people would be 3-4 hours in line trying to get there. We never did that because I'm not waiting 3 or 4 hours for that. I'm sorry. But let me tell you, what's going to happen when we get before the throne? Man, it is not going to be anything. I mean, it's going to be one of those things like, I just can't not worship God in this. Right? How could you not like fall down and just begin to worship him? Has anybody ever had one of those moments where you just can't not worship God? Like whatever your eyes or ears are taking in, it's like, whoa, God, I've got to stand up and just give you praise. Let me give you a couple of examples in our life. This was us 2 years ago. I told you we went to Prague, but this is actually in Austria. This is not a postcard. We were not that's not a backdrop. That's us actually standing right there, and that's the Swiss Alps back there. And I mean, when we got up, we took one of the ski lift things up to the top, and it was like, whoa. I mean, I'm like, bravo, God. This is amazing, right? Like, you could not worship God. It was like, it was just so much going in my eyes that I'm just like, whoa, God, this is amazing. And you know, pictures never do it justice, am I right? So we saw that. You know, you may be like, ah, yeah, mountains are pretty, but I really like the beach. Now, this was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I don't remember. We went to Pismo Beach from our hotel, and I was up there seeing that sun go down, and I'm like, whoa, another one. God, you did it again. Right? You just can't not worship God. So, you know, sometimes we see that. And another one I want to pull up in a minute. Joshua, if you can come up here. Joshua, you know, our youngest son, I think most of you guys know, he teaches at Folsom College and teaches on...
astronomy.
Thank you. I didn't want to say the wrong one, right? And he's going to describe something that he showed us a week or so ago, and I just thought, well, that is cool, so I'm going to let him share this.
So one of the things that I, you know, that make me marvel at God's wonder is when I look at the universe and how beautiful it is and how incomprehensible the scale of the universe is. And so what I was coming up here today was to explain to you an aspect of how massive and expansive our observable universe is, through explaining what this picture here means. And so this is, like I said, it's the Hubble Ultra Deep Field image. Every single object that you see in that image, not a single one of those is a star. Every single object is an entire galaxy, like our own galaxy. So when you go outside, and if you, you know, if you haven't gotten away to a good location, away from any light pollution and everything, it was smoke. Yeah, you can't really do it right now. But I encourage you to go outside. It's, you know, people have long since marveled at the beauty of the stars in the sky. They go outside on a particularly clear night, away from all the light pollution of the cities, and you can just see the expanse and so many, you know, more stars than you could ever imagine counting. But every single star that you see is a star that is in our own galaxy. It's in the Milky Way galaxy. We don't see with our naked eye a single star that lies beyond our galaxy. And in fact, we're only seeing about 4% of the stars in our galaxy. When you wrap your mind around that is one galaxy right there in the entire sky, and then you go back and, you know, you look, you see that every single one of those is a galaxy in itself, filled with as numerous stars as we see in that image. Then we only are at approaching a minuscule portion of beginning to understand how incredibly massive our observable universe is. And so the next kind of point that I want to make is just describe kind of how that picture was taken. You know, you might think like, oh, this is the entire, a big significant portion of the sky, but it's a very, very tiny, tiny infinitesimal portion of our overall sky. So this is where that, this little square right here is that image, the Hubble Ultra Deep Field image. You can see it compared to the moon to scale. People kind of have a different, they don't realize how big the moon is actually in the night sky. But if you go out on any given night, and I encourage you to do this, it looks like it's bigger than it actually is. Stick up your, you might think it's like as big as a hand or something. Stick out your hand and put your thumb. You'll easily be able to cover the entire moon with just your thumb at an arm's length away. It's about like half the width of the average human thumb. And this image was taken in just about the size of a large crater on the moon, is where we got that Hubble Deep Field image, which is, you know, just a, if you're like me and you have a freckle, it's more comparable to like a freckle on your finger at an arm's length away. And within that image, there are 10,000 galaxies. So something that, you know, if whenever you ask, you like look up how big is the universe? Well, our observable universe, there are 200 billion galaxies, approximately. And each of those galaxies have somewhere on the order of 100 billion stars. Huge numbers, but it's hard to comprehend what that even means. To break that down, it means that whenever we look at a freckle an arm's length away, that we are looking at 10,000 galaxies beyond that point.
Wow, that's cool, thank you. So I wanted him to explain that because those are things that when you begin to see and you begin to understand, it's like, whoa, God, you're so big. You're so big. Can I describe another moment that's gonna be I can't not worship God? Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But the scripture says I used to have this idea that those that don't serve God are going to be forced to have to do that. But I don't really feel that anymore. I believe it's going to be a spontaneous that whether you serve God or not, when you get a vision of who God really is, we're going to fall automatically. Like, whoa, God, you are Lord. It's going to be a spontaneous, I can't not worship God at that moment. Right? Many of us have, if I said, what's your vision of God, of Jesus? A lot of people would say, oh, you know, Jesus on the cross. Listen, I know that image is out there and we need to understand what that meant, but I want to tell you, Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He's on a throne, right? Everything deals with his throne and encircled around that. We've got to get a bigger picture of who he is, that if we get the eternal perspective, then we can say, no, there's nothing too big that I can ever face. I mean, when you think about how big the universe is, nothing can ever, you know, I don't have to get wrapped up in, oh no, what's going to happen? God is on our side, amen? Yeah. Amen. Let me try to break this down a little bit more. It says that they were dressed in white robes. And I think the reason why many of us struggle in worship is in the context is that we've really done nothing to prepare ourselves for that. We've not entered into that lock system. Maybe you came in dragging and, you know, by the time you get to the third song, you're like, oh, okay, I'm starting to enter in, and then it's over with. Right? And you're like, ah, you know, we need to come prepared. Right? We need to come ready. Another thing is that a lot of people don't feel worthy to worship. Oh, God, you don't know what I've done. I've really messed up. I did this. Listen, I just wanted to let you know, you the feeling of not being worthy, where none of us are. Right? None of us are worthy. And somehow we think that worship is something that we're doing for God. Like, God had a really tough week, so I better build up his ego. Oh, you are great. You know, God doesn't need that. God does not need that. It's not something, when we worship, it's not something we're doing for God. It's simply a reaction of what God has done for us. Does that make sense? Like, when you really get the idea of what God has done for you, if you really understand what our final destination was without him, then we can't not worship him. It's like, God, you are holy. I think sometimes we get it backwards, and what happens is that we allow the things that are wrong with us keep us from worshiping what is right with God. Does that make sense? So let me, just for the record, let me state this. Is God worthy to be praised?
Yes,
yes he is. But we allow those feelings of unworthiness to keep us. And I believe that the reason, the image that God allowed John to see, the white robes, they were not, I got to put on something white. It represents the righteousness of Christ. We're in the presence of God. We can come before him because there was an exchange that was done. He took my sin and my sinfulness, and I got to put on the righteousness of Christ. So I don't stand in my own worthiness. I don't stand because I've done enough good things right this week. I stand in his presence because I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Right. Amen? Yes, we can give the Lord. So maybe we need to come in and just make sure that we're right with God. God, I confess whatever it is. Get yourself right, and then you can come into this presence. Verses 6 through 8. Again, I'm not going to read all of it, but it's kind of interesting because I think John was running out of words of how to describe things that were going on in the heavenly. Right there, he's trying to describe these pictures. Well, there's one kind of like a lion, there's one like an ox, the other one had like a face of a man and eyeballs and wings and all. I think he was running out of words. I don't even know how to describe this. It is so amazing. See, worship is not just singing on Sunday morning. It's what we do every day of the week. Amen. Like, doesn't the scripture say in 1 Corinthians 13:10? I don't have it, do I? No. Yeah, no, I don't. I didn't put it up there. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. That means when you go to work, if you're an employee, then I don't do just a half job or whatever I can do to get back by. I worship God when I give it my best. If you're an employer, guess what? I worship God by not cutting corners and cheaping people out. I provide the best that I can whatever it is. That means if you're driving down the road, listen, I can, you may be singing a song, but if you're cutting people off in traffic, you know, everybody does it on accident sometimes, but if you're purposely, you know, hey, you idiot, you know, and you idiot over here, am I really, whatever we do, we've got to do it as unto the Lord. That is our worship. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It all becomes an act of worship. When you choose to forgive the person that did you wrong, instead of singing another somebody done me wrong song, we need to walk in love. We need to begin to forgive them, because when you forgive them, it's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Man, we need to learn that. Listen, I think that you know, worship really depends on what you grew up in. Some of you may have grown up in a church where they read out of the, sing out of the hymnal, right? Anybody have that? Some of you grew up, and really, worship, it looks different. It really depends on the culture you grew up in, your personality. Some people have more expressive personalities, so guess what? Worship is going to be, you know, they're going to get more involved, right? Some people are more introspective, and you know, they may, that person's a little crazy over there, but you know what? It's your personality. I think the thing is, and one thing that I really appreciate here is that at Freedom Church, people have the ability to express their worship to God however God tells them, right? I mean, not to draw attention to yourself, you know, like, what I want to say is that we just really, when it comes to worship, be willing to put ourselves into it. I mean, the 24 elders, verse 10a, what do? They fell down. It wasn't like synchronized worship going on right there. They fell down. They got into it. It was physical. It wasn't just their words. You know, and the scripture talks about all different ways that we worship God, and I don't have time to get into all of that, but two of them, we see kneeling, falling down before God is really a sign of humility, isn't it? I mean, I remember the first time I ever, like, knelt in a worship service, I was more concerned about who was watching me than what I was doing, right? But we got to get out of our head, and it's like, okay, God, I'm going to humble myself. I don't care who watches me. My knees were much better then. How many of you know it, there's a point where kneeling is out? Not because you don't want to, but because, ow, you may not get back up, right? But then raised hands. Man, that was like a weird thing if you've never seen that. But I could give you so many scriptures. It is a symbol of surrender. Remember when I said Abby wanted up? What do? Her hands are up. Lord, I surrender to you. It's not for any other reason. I know it may be weird, but I believe that body language is involved when we worship God. And there's times that people will come up front, all kinds of things. And we're called to sing a new song unto the Lord, right? Begin to worship Him. Begin to cry out to Him. Let's see here. Where am I at? Verse 10. Psalms 98. Psalms 98 says this. Listen, I believe that God created everyone to sing. And not just everyone, but I believe all creation. Right? This Psalms right here says, shout to the Lord, who? All the earth. Break out into praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and with the harp and melody of songs, with trumpets, sounds of the ram horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord the King. And then check this out, verse 7 and 8. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee, and let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. And listen, I know, oh, it's poetry. Yes, it is poetry, but I believe on one aspect, it's good science too. Didn't Jesus say that if we don't sing, if we don't praise Him, then what's going to sing out? Rocks. The rocks are going to cry out for Him. And listen, I'm not a scientist. That's more my son's thing. But physicists have discovered that the electronic shell of carbon atoms, everything living has got carbon atoms, follows a harmonic scale of these six notes, C, D, E, F, G, and A, which is a Gregorian chant. I can't really explain all of that, but one guy that really studied, and my wife has his book, Leonard Sweet, he said, could it be that all carbon-based life is actually built on this Gregorian chant? Everybody is made to worship. Everything in creation. And you're like, well, that sounds a little weird, but you know what? The one that created it all of creation is going to sing and cry out to Him, right? So here's the thing. Here's what I want to say. I believe that there's an eternal chorus going up to heaven. I believe, why is it that people can go into the forest and hear the trees and just feel the presence of God? You know, we may not be able to understand it or go to the beach. I believe somewhere in those atoms, there's a song going up. You're like, oh yeah, I knew this guy was weird, right? No, all of creation. God created everything, I believe, with the capacity to worship Him. It's what we were wired to do. It's what we're created to do. And listen, I don't care who you are, nobody else can take your place. Oh, we're all singing the same song, but we're all singing it differently. Right? We're all singing it. This is what I want to wrap it up. No one can worship for you or like you, and no one can take your place. Yeah, no one can worship for you, right? I can't have somebody else. Nobody is going to be able to worship like you, and nobody is going to take your place. We've got to enter in. And I believe, you know, we're going to have an opportunity, but we're going to take communion, so I'm going to ask my wife to come up. Communion is a form of worship. And after we take communion, we're just going to enter into just one song. And I want to encourage you to enter into that lock system and say, God, I need to be lifted up. Does anybody here say, I need to be lifted up from some of my circumstances? I need a view of what God sees. I need to get His perspective. I believe He's going to do that here today. So if you'll take your communion, I know it's a little bit of a challenge, but if you can peel off the top and get the wafer.
If you're at home, you can just grab some juice and bread. You know, the elements are a symbol of what Christ did for us. And so this morning you're holding a wafer that represents His body and the juice that represents His blood. And so I'm going to pray over the wafer right now, but I'm going to ask you to do something. Would you just take that wafer and just break it? Because that's what Christ did. His body was broken for us. And because His body was broken, we can be healed, the scripture says. And so this morning, I just want to pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for this reminder that we hold in our hand, a tangible thing to remind us. Lord, You said, do this until You return. So today we do this, Lord, in reminding us of the great price that You paid. A price for our freedom, a price for our healing, a price for our deliverance. So today, Lord, we thank You for the broken body, Your broken body. We thank You that You were obedient all the way to the cross. And it was for us, Lord. Yes. So this morning, Lord, as we take this wafer, we receive our healing. We receive healing over our hearts, over our mind, healing over our bodies. I thank You, Lord, that as I take Your broken body, remembering what You did, Lord, by faith, I believe that my body is healed.
Yeah.
And I thank You because by the stripes that You bore, Your body being broken,
yes,
I can be healed. Let's take this together in Jesus' name.
Lord, as we hold this cup of juice, whatever it is that people have at home, Lord God, it is again symbolic for Your blood. Your blood says that without the shedding of blood, there is no payment of sin. So Lord, we acknowledge it's because You shed Your blood on that cross that we have been made whole. Lord God, that we receive spiritually those white robes in heaven. Lord God, that we can approach Your throne. Lord God, and there we can find mercy, Lord God, and help in our time of need. So, Lord, we thank You for the blood that gives us access. We thank You for the blood that covers our sin. Lord, we give You praise for that. Lord, let us not take it for granted that what You did for us changed our eternity. Lord God, someday we will get to walk through that door in heaven, Lord God, and encounter You, Lord God, with no longer the hindrances of this body, Lord God. So, Lord, we thank You as we take this. We remember the sacrifice, we remember the cost, and how much You paid, Father, that we could be with You. Let's take this together. And I just want to encourage, if I can have some of our prayer team, if you guys can come up as we sing this last song. Listen, if you need prayer, we want to give you an opportunity to come up, and we want to pray.
Yeah, and if you're not needing prayer today, will you join in worship? And like Pastor said, worship is not just with voices, but it's with our whole being. So this morning, you might stand to your feet. You've been sitting for a while. Go ahead and stand up and engage your arms. The scripture says in Timothy, lift up holy hands without wrath, without malice. We lift them up. So let's sing this morning. And if you need prayer for anything, we are here and the prayer team is here. If you need prayer online, please communicate that with us and let us know.